On this week's show,
we talk about news. Terminator Dark Fate, not looking so good. Doctor Who, not looking so good. Fallout 76, looking better. I'll talk about the Outer Worlds, because I think it's quite cool, very briefly. And Markiplier's The Heist. So, talk about Zombieland, Nige.
And we talk about Zombieland. Because that's pretty cool.
Stay tuned. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, zombies, undead people, time travellers, both robotic and normal, people who've been lost in the wastelands, people who have gone to the outer world. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. As he tries to be with me on all these podcasting journeys, I've got what I can describe as Captain Birdseye himself. It's Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello, Nigel.
How we diddling?
Yeah. All right. It's a late one.
It is a late one. We're missing one of the members of the Monkey Nut Punch crew as we decided to go to the cinema watch a film. And it kind of overran. Well, it didn't overrun. We didn't predict the end as well as we did. It's that 30 minutes of adverts at the beginning of the film, I think, threw us off.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a bit longer than expected. But... never mind, you get us and it's fine.
Okay, so here comes the rundown. We're going to cover a couple of news topics. We're going to be talking about Terminator Dark Fate, Doctor Who, Fallout 76. Then I want to have a quick chat about the Outer Worlds. And then we're going to talk about Zombieland 2 that we watched. That's why it's a late one, because we decided to watch a film rather than do a podcast. But hey ho. Let's start off. Terminator Dark Fate. It's not looking healthy for Terminator Dark Fate. Apparently, so far this weekend, this is Sunday evening in the UK, so the weekend's not quite over. It looks like it's only going to get a $29 million opening, which isn't good, because it needed about a $100 million opening. Given all the shit marketing and... terrible rage bait and shit that they've put through, it doesn't look good at all. So when you saw the trailers to Terminator, I know we were taking the piss out of it, what did you think?
I wasn't really fussed about it, to be fair.
See, the thing
I paid no heed.
The thing is, apart from the female cast, there was nothing new in it. It's like, I'll go through the things that aren't new in it. Let's start off with the obvious one. Sarah Connor and Arnie as the T-800. That's not new. Then you've got this new Terminator that can split himself into two. I'll be honest with you, the fucking T-1000 would have been a better fight. But it was a regular endoskeleton with a liquid outer covering. Seen that shit before. That was in fucking Terminator 3. We've got Grace, who's half human, half cyborg. We had that in Terminator Salvation. Nothing new in this at all. And then the other part of it too is you get in rumours that they kill off John Connor in the first 5 minutes. So after Terminator 2... both Sarah and John fuck off down to Mexico to celebrate, and as they're having cocktails on the beach, a de-aged Arnie turns up and kills John Connor, rendering the whole thing useless, making it pointless. And then they replace Skynet with Legion, and it's just like, kind of, I always give that weird analogy of a murderer who's killed a member of your family and is wearing their skin around the dinner table and nobody's noticed except for you. rather dark, but this is Dark Fate we're talking about. It's going to be an utter flop, and I'll be honest with you, it kind of deserves it for two reasons. One, they didn't fucking try anything new, and two, they insulted the audience. So, you know, this shit deserves it. But saying that, Joker is almost getting closer to $1 billion worldwide.
Is it?
Yeah, considering, unlike Terminator Dark Fate's budget, I think it's at $184 million. The Joker only had 60.
Wow.
So, it didn't have a very high hill to climb before it made its money back.
I still haven't seen it either.
You still haven't seen it?
Nope.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think you'd like it. I think you just go, this is confusing bullshit. What do you mean you fucking dreamt it at the end? It's Dallas? What's this shit? How I think it would go for you. But it is a clever film. Maybe it's a bit too clever for its own good. I think I have to go and see it again. Maybe I'll drag the wife out to go and watch it. But yeah, it was good. We had the choice to go and see Terminator Dark Fate, but we watched Zombieland.
Yeah.
Instead, Zombieland 2. And we quite enjoyed that. And we'll talk about that later. I always described the first Terminator as an anti-abortion film. Because that's what it is. Skynet's gone back in time to abort John Connor before he's born. It really is. When you think about it, it's one of those things. Maybe it's not the one that they intended to put in there.
No.
It's like the contractors on the Death Star getting destroyed. Yeah, you've got all those people working on the Death Star, especially the one in the third film, and they all get blown to pieces by the by the rebellion. That's one thing aspect of Terminator Dark Fate. The other aspect of it is that James Cameron said that he was involved in it, and his involvement was literally every couple of weeks he'd take a phone call and it says, yeah, that sounds good. So he bullshitted us again, because he's done this with Terminator 3, and he did this Terminator Salvation, and he did this Terminator Genesis, where he was like, oh no, I completely approve of the story, and then when it's finished it's like, nah, shit mate. And then it's like, why did you do that? Because, well, I get a share of this. I'm not going to fucking downplay it. I'm not an idiot. And then it's always like, I knew that was coming. He said it was, because it was weird, because he had Robert Rodriguez working on Alita Battle Angel. And he said he was fine. Yeah. He would show him stuff and he'd be like, kind of, dude, this guy is going places. He knows what he's doing. Has a clear vision for film. But with Tim Miller... It wasn't that way. It was like, it wasn't that way. And apparently there were lots of rewrites. And if you look, there's 7 writers on there rather than 3, where it's usually 3 writers, usually 2 writers that write together, and the third person, either being the director or the creative who created it, chipping in to make sure everything's fine, and they get credit for the contribution. That's not good. If this is going to bomb, I don't think we'll be seeing Terminator back anytime soon. It's a very limited story. You can't do much with it. The only thing you can really do is what they did in Terminator Salvation, is do like a future war thing. But if you're doing a future war thing, you need the fucking plasma bolters and whatnot that we're fighting with when they're trying to take on the Terminators in the future. Because it doesn't make sense. And they need to do some gruesome things too, like they're like collecting people and harvesting them so they can make skin for the Terminators, yeah? Some gruesome shit, and put back the kind of horror slasher element to it, because if you get down to it and you look at Terminator and you look at Alien, there are two films where they've taken that horror trope of like the slasher or the murderer, like Jason or Freddy, yeah? Because that's what they are. So instead of being supernatural, they're scientific, so you've got a robot that's like fucking Jason, where he can't be stopped, yeah? You have to go to extreme lengths to stop him, and the same with the alien too. Unless they're going to think in those terms, and I'll be honest with you, those slasher flicks are quite limited in what you can do with them, even though there are a shit ton of Jason films.
There was.
It's, It's not much, and I think Terminator Dark Fate has had a dark fate of its own.
And so have they done... I think I stopped watching Terminator films after number 3. I think that's the one with the female Terminator.
Apparently, they kill the new Terminator the same way they kill the female Terminator in Terminator 3.
It was so long ago, I can't remember. But
they put the power cell in its gob and watch it explode, which just sounds stupid. Apparently, Mackenzie Davis, the LGBT 1000, as we lovingly called her, courtesy of world-class bullshitters, she was okay in the film, actually. She wasn't irritating or a Mary Sue, which was good to hear. But the character hinges around the Danny Ramos character, forgettable, and a shit actress. That's one thing to note. All right. There was a story a couple of weeks back which I didn't cover, involving the third Doctor, John Pertwee, and a Zanussi training video. All right. And what the Zanussi training video was it was a thing to sell extended warranties on all their fridges and freezers and tumble dryers and washing machines and everything, and they were going to do it like for £5 a month. For £5 a month for 5 years, and we'd replace it and all this other stuff. Yeah, so it's all that boring shit. Yeah, but at the end of it, you've got three people there. You've got the doctor, a bloke asking questions, and like the female companion for all intents and purposes. Yeah, but at the end of the training thing, John Pertwee, the third doctor, dressed as the third doctor, looks down at this woman, and she asks the following question. Where in the galaxy is Zanussi? And he leans down and says, show us your tits and I'll tell you. I watched it and it's supposed to be humorous. It's supposed to take, you know, it's supposed to humour through absurdity, because the doctor would never say anything like that. And if you hear him deliver his line, he's not 100% convinced. He's just taking a job because he was offered money. You know, it's a day's shooting is 20 grand. And he went, I'll have it. Well, probably not 20 grand, it's probably about 5 or 6 given the exchange rate, and it's not an exchange rate, the inflationary rate. Apparently people on the internet will go absolutely fucking ape shit over this.
Of course they will.
Like, oh no, we've got to get rid of the third doctor and da 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 da, and this is why we need women doctors in Doctor Who from this point onwards.
So she could have the same question to a female doctor and she say, show us your penis and I'll tell you.
Yeah, because these people...
I couldn't give a fuck if she did say that.
These people need to be... We need to create a giant spaceship so we can put them all on.
These SJWs who can be perpetually offended by everything can just go stand in a room together and just be offended by their fucking presence.
Yeah.
They'll be offended that there's somebody else in the fucking same room as them. Go and be offended with people who can be offended just as easily as you, and see how well you get on with everyone. Off your pop.
I'll be honest with you, the line isn't offensive. What is offensive is the fact that it's a really shit video. It's incredibly boring, corporate, and it's just like, oh my god, this is not good. And it feels really bad that John Pertwee is doing this. That's the worst bit about it, because it kind of looks like he's at that point in time in his career he'd fallen on hard times. That feels like really bad. That's the bit I'm offended by. Well, not really offended by, but it's the bit that makes me kind of go, oh, about the whole situation. But yes, these people have to be stopped, because it doesn't stop there. Apparently. In the next season of Doctor Who, or I don't know if it's at the end or the beginning of the season after this season that we're going to get shown next year in 2020, there's going to be a special where the 13th Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, is going to meet up with the 10th Doctor, David Tennant. So they were going to put, I'm hoping it's a special to celebrate the 60th by this time. The 60th or 55th anniversary of Doctor Who. And apparently According to lovable rogue on the internet, a guy called Doomcock, he got an email from someone from the BBC that Jodie Whittaker is going to lecture David Tennant on how much better she is than him. They described it as his toxic masculinity, and I would really just love David Tennant to turn around to her and say, look, you can say all you want, yeah, but I'm not a supporting character in my own fucking show. I was the lead and you're shit, and it is shit, and it's gonna be fucking terrible.
How could she possibly lecture David Tennant
on how much better? Well, it's not the doc. Yeah, it's the two doctors. I don't know how she can do it. If you just list down the shit that David Tennant did as the doctor, it's huge in comparison to what she did. She's done fuck all as a doctor. She's stopped a single toothy alien called Tim Shaw. That's it. Everything else kind of gets... She hasn't really done anything.
No, I couldn't even sit through one season of it. I stopped halfway through.
I think it was the Saranga conundrum is when I went... I'm not watching.
I can't
this.
Remember the last one I watched. If she's still there, I won't be watching next season either. But the thing was, I think out of the three of us, I was the person out of the three of us saying, give her a chance, we'll see how it goes. And then I'm the first one to go, no, can't be fucked with it anymore.
Yeah, and ironically, I was the first person to go, no, this is a really fucking bad idea. Have you seen her as an actress? She's terrible. And even worse than that was my complete fucking do not trust Chris Chibnall because he can't write for shit.
Yeah. And it's initially, I was sitting there going, I think if it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad because of writing. Because Chris Chibnall, all the episodes that he's been involved with writing for previous Doctors have been shit. And we couldn't write off Jodie Whittaker without seeing her. Because we just couldn't do that. It wouldn't be fair, would it? She might do it justice. You know, pull it out of the bag and whatnot. And to be fair, the storylines were a bit shit. And it's quite limited with what she can do to them. I think it's a bit of both.
The problem is that she's a shit actress, yeah? And there are better actresses that could play the part. There's a ton of better actresses that could play the part. Even actresses I don't like. Fucking... Just trying to think of what... Tilda Swinton could play the Doctor. Because she's crazy. She's batshit fucking crazy. And she could play the part if you wanted her.
Who was that woman who played the... the master, Michelle Rodriguez. Michelle Gomez. Had they turned her into the Doctor somehow, I would have been on board with that. She was fantastic as the master, really was.
So the problem with that is that Michelle Gomez is a good friend of Stephen Moffat's, so she did it to him as a favour, and it worked. Because he knew that she could pull it off. So because he knew her, it was easy to write for her. Because he'd just write her like he knows her when she does crazy. Just write crazy in there. Because I know Michelle, I'll just write crazy thing. The funny thing is, do you know she's married to? Just a quick thing.
No.
I'm trying to think of something that you'd remember. There was a TV series called Coupling. And there's a guy who played Stephen. Well, ironically, he was a stand-in for actual Stephen Moffat. A guy called Jack Davenport. He was in Pirates of the Caribbean. No, the one that Elizabeth Swann was supposed to marry, who was the Admiral or the Commodore, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah, she's married to him.
Oh, okay.
That's not how he knows her, because he worked with Jack Davenport. And so, yeah. But it's annoying, because she was fucking fantastic. And she was fantastic. And she's fucked off to the States now, because she got that role in Doctor Who, and it made her stick out. And I really miss Peter Capaldi. Every time I think about Doctor Who now, it's like kind of... He wasn't that fucking bad now I think about it. There were a few things... There were a few... It was a case of... It was hot and cold, rather than just warmed up slop.
Yeah.
And I prefer hot and cold, because that's an improvement on tepid, shall we say.
I thought he did a good job, actually, thinking about it.
But going back to... What's so much lecturing the fucking tenth Doctor on toxic masculinity, or if it's just a hit about him being a bad person, it is a shit idea because she's a shit Doctor. She hasn't earned it. If it was Capaldi scolding the tenth Doctor or the 11th Doctor, that would make sense because, one, he's like an older man,
yeah,
and he's got that cantankerous nature about him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did have that doesn't give a shit, and that would work. But, oh, I don't know. I really don't know. Am I going to watch Doctor Who when it comes back? The answer is I will probably wait for all of them to air and watch them one after the other. I think that's how I'll do it. I won't watch them as they're on. I'll just watch the reaction to everyone.
I might, and it's a big might, see if I watch the new series. I don't know.
I don't know. Keith will be like, I'll give it a watch. It'll be amazing like that. And then he'll be like, oh, shit.
They pulled the wool over my eyes again for the fifth time.
We want you fucking loads of times, boy. What are you doing? Yeah, so we've got that to look forward to in the new year. And then we've got Fallout 76, the only game in the history of games where I've pulled the disc out of the fucking machine before it ejected and almost snapped the bastard in two. When they sold the game in Australia, as they did worldwide, they had this thing where if you just installed it, you couldn't get a refund.
Right.
So where, if you bought it off of Steam, you were given, I think you get, 2 hours to play it and go, this is shit?
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. That's great. Well done, Steam. Have a chocolate biscuit. The Bethesda's launcher wouldn't let you do that. So it's like, oh, great. So I put it in, I turn it on, I play it for 30 minutes, realise this is fucking garbage. I'm talking about 30 minutes, or maybe even 20 minutes before you realise this is a total garbage, yeah? I want my money back, yeah? And because their refund policy was the way it was, you weren't allowed that.
Hmm.
But, according to the Australian Consumer Rights Commission, I think that's the right people, probably got that wrong, they've turned around and gone, after a year looking at it, because they're very quick over there in Australia when it comes to these sort of things.
Turned
around to ZeniMax, who are Bethesda's parent company, and says, you've got to give them a fucking refund. This is described as faulty software as far as we're concerned. And it's ordered them to give refunds. So people who've been waiting for refunds finally get refunds off of fucking Fallout 76. And which is good.
Absolutely worth it.
It is absolutely worth it. But here comes a cherry on the cake. I've been playing the Outer Worlds, and I've been having problems playing it because I'm playing it and I'm expecting to play it and it to be like Fallout. It's the same Keith's not here because you get this instantly. I've been playing it like Fallout, and then all of a sudden it clicked in my brain when I got to the space station. I'm not playing Fallout. I'm playing Firefly the game. I showed my wife like the internal bits of the ship because this look familiar. It says it looks like the inside of a Firefly ship thing, and I was like, yeah. And then in my head, I've gone, I'm playing Firefly. And then as soon as I've done that, game's gone up to fucking 11 for me. Because before I'm running around, it's like I haven't got VATs. I can't. There's not like giant open worlds that I can run through. They're like they've sectioned them. Yeah, so you've got a planet and you've got like you can land at Roseport or Spacer's Choice Settlement. I can't remember what it's called. On Halcyon. And I was playing it and it was just like it was driving up the wall. And the worst thing is that the characters in there are very similar to the characters in Firefly. I'll give you an example. I pick up a Vicar. Who's a bit dodgy. He's got a very dodgy past. Like a preacher with a dodgy past, like in Firefly. I pick up an engineer who won't shut the fuck up. Seems a little familiar. I've got a doctor. I haven't got a Jane character in there, which I'm really annoyed at. That computer's got personality, unlike Firefly. That means we lose the Wash character. But I haven't got my Jane, who's that guy who's on the ship, who's really good at what he does, but he's dodgy as fuck and you don't know why he keeps him around, sort of person. And I've really been enjoying it. And ever since my brain flipped that switch that it's not Fallout and it is Firefly, I've enjoyed the shit out of it.
Huh.
Seriously, I was playing it before you got on. And just trying to figure out if I back this person up who's got a formula for toothpaste. Don't laugh. Formula for diet toothpaste. You clean your teeth with this stuff and it helps you control your appetite, which is a fantastic idea. And I bet you it doesn't fucking work. That's the fucking twist on it. It does not work whatsoever. It's really good. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. Just before we talk about Zombieland,
yeah,
can we talk about Markiplier the heist?
Yes,
because we said we're going to talk about it and I forgot to put it in the notes. Because I saw adverts for it and I saw a couple of videos where you said please watch it, and then I forgot about it because I'm a terrible person. Me and the son had the house to ourselves on Friday, and after a message from you, I said, "Oh, should we do Markiplier the Heist?" So while we're eating pizza, we're playing Markiplier the Heist, trying to get as many endings as we could. So it was like kind of we did one ending, and then it was like, "Oh, what happens if we take this?" So we'd fast forward quickly through the other endings, pick the same choices, get to the point, and flip the choice over. We had a good fun with that.
We only managed a couple.
Yeah, this is the weird thing. My son chose to trust a cannibal, and the only reason he chose to trust a cannibal was because it was Matt Pat from fucking Game Theory. So he trusts Matt Pat, even though he was dressed as a cannibal. But it was like, oh, it's Matt Pat, it won't hurt us.
It'll be nice. It'll be fine.
Everything will be fine.
You see, I did it before. When I first saw it and I went through my choices, I did the escape in the car, find out that I was bitten and told the truth, and then you went off and became Zom friends with everyone, played Zom golf and all
that.
And then the next morning, before my son's football, me and the kids did exactly what you and your son did, and we went through it, and I let them make the choices. I watched it with them, I didn't say anything, and they did exactly the same route as what I took. Exactly. I was so disappointed because I wanted to see something else.
My son picked the opposite to me. Yeah, because the first time I did it, he picked the Matt Pat nice cannibal one, and I picked the let's escape in the helicopter, neither one of us can fly a helicopter, oh shit, now we're in jail. And then busted out of jail.
Make you laugh. The first time, I took the noisy route to escape the vault. Guns blazing, blah blah blah. Find the car. I went, let's take the car. And then it breaks down. And he goes, I've seen one YouTube video probably on fixing a car. I can probably do it. Or we walk. And so we walk, you know, and I like the way he's done it because it is very similar to how Bear Grylls has done something very similar on Netflix, and it was You Versus Wild, if you've seen that one, where you can choose the route that Bear Grylls takes in a particular episode. I think there were 6 episodes. So in that one episode, you could choose either thing he could do, and roots and stuff like that. And so obviously he's taken inspiration from that, but in my opinion that takes inspiration from something that goes way back to my childhood, and that's the adventure books that you get, where you read the first chapter and it goes, get your dice out, if you roll a 6 turn to page 34, if you roll a 2 turn to page 12, that sort of thing. Do you remember those books?
Yeah, I remember those books. I didn't have dice. It was always just do you follow the dwarf, or do you stay by the fireplace? And
like, yeah, you could do it either way. Well, there were books that had dice, or you choose, what are they called? Beast Quest or something like that? I think they're still about, actually. I just think they turned it into video form, and I think he's done actually a really good job on it. The audio on it is superb. It is super.
Well, it was done as a YouTube original, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's done in cooperation, because it is at the. I think it looks like it's the YouTube headquarters that they filmed the museum bit in. If I remember.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
My son is likes Markiplier. He's been watching the Try Not to Laugh videos. Finds them great.
Oh.
Even though he's a bit swearier than Dan TDM, so it's a bit of a case of.
Yeah, and you see, it's a good thing, and what he's done there is really good. I like what he did, and the bit where he if you follow the car route, you turn into a zombie, which could lead us nicely into Zombieland 2.
Ooh, very nicely done. Okay,
and we just watched that today.
We did watch that today. We watched it with our good friend. Not Keith. That's how we're going to refer to Carl. Not Keith.
He's not Keith. And he's not Gav.
No, he's not Gav. He's not Barbecue.
Not Barbecue.
Sorry. Yeah, so... this was... Zombieland 2. I'm not very good at remembering Zombieland 1. I remember a few things in it.
Yeah, I only remember a couple of things. But Zombieland 1... it's from the outbreak, isn't it? It's like literally after the outbreak or whatever.
This is 10 years on from that.
This is 10 years on. And obviously, it's all about... what's his face? Columbus.
Oh, Columbus.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's a proper nerd. And
do you know what the funny thing is every so often, they would call him and Tallahassee by the wrong state. They were called. I don't know if you paid attention. If Tallahassee was behaving stupid, they'd call him Florida.
Did they?
They called him Florida if he did something stupid. Another bit with the car. He gets his car crashed. Yeah. By the big monster truck thing outside the beast, as he calls it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because it's the presidential limo that he's modified with guns and shit, which is a cool idea. They call him Florida rather than Tallahassee. They tell him to go Florida. It's really weird. That was one of the things. And they call Columbus Ohio when he goes to do something stupid too. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if it's intentional or I don't know if it's intentional or continuity. I think it looks intentional.
Must be intentional.
Like maybe he did something stupid in Florida, or maybe did something stupid in Ohio. So they call him by that when they go to do something stupid.
Yeah. I thought it was I don't know. I really enjoyed watching it. There were some quite funny bits. There were some quite gruesome bits. And you do wonder where the story's sort of going, but it was decent in my opinion.
I think that the appeal was no real politics in it.
Yep.
And it was just a film, and it was just there to entertain you. And that's turning into something of a fucking novelty these days.
A good old fashioned film to watch, where you can pretty much switch off, and not have to sit there and go, "Oh, for God's sake, why did I have to fucking put that in?" But it was great, even at the very start. Eisenberg obviously does a little bit of a voiceover, doesn't he, and stuff.
Yes.
And he's saying, out of the many, many zombie films that you could have gone to watch, we thank you for watching ours.
I like that. I did like that. That did make me. That did make me smile. It's like kind of yes. And the bit where he's reading The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
which is totally unrealistic.
They're totally unrealistic.
He was reading the Negan bits where he's got fucking hundreds of men.
Yeah, it must have been. That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
I thought that was quite amusing. That made me, that gave me a little giggle. I like the fact that it showed you that they had the three types of zombies at the beginning.
Yes,
you had the homo, which is the dumb walker.
Dead stupid. Yeah,
you had the ninja, which was the sneaky bastard that would get you in the dark, and then you had the what they call the Hawkins one, which was slightly clever. But very vicious at the same time. And then they introduced that fourth type, which they lovingly refer to as the T-800.
Yes.
It's weird, because if we were doing this in the wrong order, we could have used that to introduce talking about Terminator Dark Fate. But
we could have.
But we're not, so that's a segue missed. So they call back the T-800 because they take a lot of damage, but just keep fucking coming at you.
Just keep coming, even if you shoot them in the head.
I really did enjoy
the bit where they ended up at the Elvis Motel, and they met their other halves.
Yes,
their doppelgangers.
The thing is that made me think of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're escaping, and they literally find the mirror of them led by.
Yeah, and they go, "What?
Mate from space," and they walk past each other. That's what that made me think of. But I did like the fact that he had what's his face, Luke Wilson. I have no idea who the other actor was. What was he? Flagstaff was the character's name. I think it's a guy called
Thomas Middleditch was Flagstaff.
And the fact that him and Jesse Eisenberg got on really well together, but Tallahassee's opposite, which is Albuquerque, which is Luke Wilson, they fucking hated each other.
They did, didn't they? And there was a running gag throughout the whole thing with the minivan, the fucking shit car that they're using.
Yeah.
Because the presidential limo, which had been dolled up, called the Beast, was taken by Little Rock.
Little Rock and a stupid
hippie boyfriend.
Berkeley, yes.
How the fuck has he lasted that long? I just thought that was ridiculous. If he's out on the road.
That's the thing is, that's when you see Tallahassee, yeah, and he's getting angry at it, you're like, I completely sympathise with you. And it's like kind of, oh, he's completely peaceful and he avoids confrontation. It's like, that's it! That's enough!
And he's going, it's all right, calm down.
Yeah.
He says one more word and that's it, he's fucking mental. Yeah, no, I thought it was really, really good the way they did it. And I couldn't believe they actually melted the guns down when they entered in.
Oh god, yes. It's like you did keep the guns, didn't you? He goes, no, we melted them down and turned them to these cool pendants. Ah, fuck me. That was it. The girl that what's his mush met that was living in the freezer, Madison. Yeah, that she was. I knew she was having a fucking allergic reaction in the car, and I thought that Emma Stone's character, which was it, Wichita, she was purposely feeding her nuts because she saw like an allergy bracelet.
Oh right, yeah,
and she was purposely feeding her nuts to try and get rid of her, which is a bit fucking dark.
It is dark, isn't it?
But I saw that and said she's having a fucking nut allergy because she's got my tongue. Then he just left her in the woods rather than kill her, which was we knew he did that.
Yeah.
But it was just a case of she broke up with him because she's silly bent and women do silly things. Yeah. And then he meets her and
liked her too much, she broke up with him.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah, naturally, because that's the logical thing, isn't it?
It's a logical thing to do. You like me too much. Fuck, I'm out.
It's what do you call it? It's the fact that he was boning her and she came back, and she was trying to trying to use that as an excuse to get back together. And he's just been fucking this other bird, and she comes blundering down the stairs, and she's like, Oh, who's this?
Huh. Are you coming back to bed?
Yeah.
It's like that, is it? What do you mean it's like that? I would have been like, girl, you left in the middle of the night with a shit note and you recognised it was a shit note as well.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the last I'd ever see of you. The day after I proposed to you. And
you ran away.
You expect me to not move on. Yeah. I mean, fuck off.
Yes.
I think the characters are all very, very believable in this.
They're all thoroughly entertaining, I think. They're interesting. Maybe Watson Mush was just a bit too fucking ditzy for my liking, but...
The Madison.
But she played off of Jesse and... Columbus and Wichita's characters quite well.
Yeah.
And I think that worked. And I enjoyed that because she was winding up Watsy's Mush 2 Tallahassee, and it was just fun watching him wind her up.
Don't worry. I'll get your bags in the boot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were expecting him to toss them. The camera angle set it up, so there was a big empty space for him to throw them into it, where he just went, clip.
Close the door. Off we go.
I'll be honest with you. That's how you're supposed to subvert expectations.
Hmm.
He's sitting there and it just kind of like he's made out that he has done. That was good. I love the fact they hate the fucking minifan. At the moment they stopped at this fucking thing, he dropped a grenade in it. He just like looked around and went, dick, dick.
I thought he blew the wall off, to be honest, of the compound note.
That made me laugh because they were complaining about it. But it was good and it was entertaining and I enjoyed the hell out of that. Apart from you owe me £6.
Yes, true.
And I told you every time I see you until I'll get my £6 back. As with Jessica Chobart, yeah, I will be going. She gets you owe me £14.99 on the PlayStation Store. You're gonna get you owe me £6 just because I'm a bastard like that. But yeah, we watched that and it was good. I'm sorry we kept you waiting.
One thing that they referred to. Do you remember in the first film? I don't know if you remember it, but they saw Bill Murray.
Yes, yes.
And then word got round that Bill Murray was killed because somebody thought he was a zombie, but he wasn't, and he got killed because of it.
It's when they meet Nevada at the. The Elvis place, because Tallahassee's obsessed with Elvis, and they go in there and she says, because he's playing the piano, isn't he?
I almost married you.
And it's like kind of, and they're all like kind of looking at what's his wish, Columbus going, because if ever caught up to that guy, it goes, I'll kill him. Like that. They were looking at him because maybe it was an accident or something. Because I'll kill him. I'll be second in line to kill him after you. That was good. And that was Rosario Dawson, who was in like Daredevil and Defenders and loads of other things, which is cool. That was good. So I think we'll wrap this up. We'll have a quick one because it's late at night. We're tired, and that's probably why we're moving a bit too fast at the moment. So hopefully I'll get this out for tomorrow about 6 o'clock-ish. Thank you very much, Commander Batista. I've said that right, for noticing that Keith didn't provide me with the files and I just downloaded my audio and published that as a podcast, my raw audio with all my fucking around at the end, which normal people normally don't hear, but I managed to amend it quietly, hopefully. So that should be back together, and hopefully people have re-downloaded that so we get double downloads. Sweet. But thank you once again for that. We do appreciate that. I take my, if I was wearing a hat, I would take it off, but I'm not, so I can't scalp myself to say thank you very much. But yeah, thank you. Next week we should have Keith. He could have done the podcast, but long and short of it, he pussied out.
He was too tired.
He's too tired. It's like kind of, let's do the podcast at 4, let's do the podcast at 4, and it's like kind of, okay, we'll do the podcast at 4, okay, we may be 20, 30 minutes late, and it's like, oh, I'm too tired. It's like, alright then, you go. And on that note, it's time to say goodbye.
We'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.